Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone back. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. This is one of those places that in going through Acts this quarter with the students, it's just one of those that when you read through it and you look at it, it's one of those things that jumps out. Oftentimes we think about, especially this time of year, everybody's wanting to get together, spend time with family. The thing that we always ask is, would that time be convenient for you or convenient for them? Or we try to make sure that everybody is able to be there and have that convenient time for everybody to come together. I think about this in regard to our Christian life, and I hope that when it comes to living a Christ-like life, that you and I are uncomfortable. By that, I mean this. I hope that there is never a time when we think, I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity, but not until it's convenient for me to do so. At that point in time, we become complacent and we wait for things to get comfortable for us. And I hope that we always realize that every opportunity we have is convenient, even when it's maybe not. But we take those opportunities to either share the Word of God, or we take those opportunities to hear the Word of God. We take those opportunities to draw closer to Him every time that we have it. Because one thing I don't want to look back on, at least for my life, standing before God, is that, why didn't you take the time to do these things? I don't want to look Him in the eye and say, well, I was waiting on that convenient time. Here, you have a man by the name of Felix. Felix, here in Acts 24, beginning in verse 22, Felix heard these things. Having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Paul has come to Jerusalem. He has Jews from Asia who have caused an uprising, and a riot has ensued. The commander, Lysias, has had to come in and remove Paul forcefully. He put him in chains and didn't even bother to try to question anything first. He just puts him in chains and then asks who he is after he's arrested him. Due process was not a thing at this point in time. But you have Paul, who is getting sent on to Caesarea because he has learned of a plot to take his life. Lysias becomes informed of that information as well, sends him on to Caesarea. There Felix, the governor, is going to question Paul and to listen to him. And I want you to notice here from verse number 25, this is where our lesson came from. Paul is going to stand before Felix, and he is giving his defense there, beginning in verse 10 down through verse 21. And Felix finally just says, look, until Lysias comes, I'm not going to listen to anything else. We're going to have a proper time to have you come before us and to listen and hear you speak. And I want you to notice, Paul, when he has this opportunity to speak before Felix, to speak to him and his wife Drusilla, as we see here in verse 24, and those that would come to hear him, he sent for him concerning the faith in Christ. Notice what Paul reasoned about. Three things here: righteousness, self-control, the judgment to come. Those three things are what Paul is going to cover with him. We think about these things, and even this morning in our Bible class, if you'll go to John 16, there were a few things that we looked at this morning that Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, telling them that he was going. This is the night that he is going to be betrayed. He is speaking to his disciples. He has washed their We think about him washing their feet, speaking to them about this helper, the comforter that was going to come. And here in John 16, beginning in verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." The Spirit is going to come. He will lead them into those things. But I think about these things and very similar to what the Spirit is going to do, or the things that Paul spoke to Felix about. The things that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when he came, he would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Here you see Paul, he speaks to Felix and those gathered of righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Righteousness. Look with me at Psalm 119, and I want you to think about these in regard to your life and what guards your life, what manner of life you live, and what controls it, what guides it. Here in Psalm 119, verse number 172, here the psalmist writes, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Realize and understand that everything God has ever and will ever command us to do, all according to the standard of righteousness, his standard, all his commandments our righteousness. Never would we see God do anything unrighteous. Never will God have a standard for one person and a different standard for somebody else. We don't have God get into situational ethics to say, well, if the greater good would survive because of these things, then we can do some things that would be a little shady or shifty. No, we won't ever see God do those things. Never does God say that is okay. Always, all of his commandments are only righteousness. And this is what Paul is going to be speaking to Felix. The same thing that we continue to strive for today, to be in that right standing with God. And I can know that I'm in that right standing if I follow his commandments. Why? Because they're all righteousness at all times. All of his commandments are righteous. They're right at all times. Look with me at Romans chapter 1, and we see today that standard of righteousness. Romans chapter 1, there in verse 16, Paul writes to the churches here, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." When we think about these words that Paul writes, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You know what? When he stands here before Felix, he is not ashamed of the gospel. He is going to make sure to preach to him Christ. He is going to preach to him that standard of righteousness that God would have him to live by. He's not going to, because of his audience, twist anything or turn anything, try to make him feel more comfortable where he's at. None of those things are going to be the case. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed to preach to you the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation." There in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God, his standard of right living. And thus, when Paul is speaking to Felix, this is what we know has been preached, and therefore we have no right to preach anything else. If you'll look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, think about these words that Paul writes here to the church at Corinth, beginning in verse number 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, I know is familiar to us. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You need to be mindful of those who are having an effect on your life. You need to monitor those that you allow to influence your life, because that bad company does corrupt good habits. Awake, wake up, pay attention is what he's saying. Awake to righteousness. Look at what manner of influence you're allowing into your life. Are they helping you to get to heaven, or are they corrupting you? Are they making you better, more godly, or are they taking you away from him? And he says, I speak this to your shame, because obviously there were things that were going on that they were allowing to take them away from God. Got to make sure that if we are going to awake to righteousness, or we're going to go to heaven, we've got to awake to righteousness. Pay attention and make sure that we're doing as God would have us to do. You think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. There in verse number 20, as Jesus speaks, he tells them, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, I can't give lip service. I can't claim just to be a child of God based on the fact that I was born into, in this case, I was a Jew and born into it. My righteousness, my livelihood, my life service has to be better than those that would just claim it. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1 and notice what Paul writes here to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Where do those fruits of righteousness come? Well, by Jesus Christ. Again, we go back to the gospel of Christ, the power of God to salvation. That example that we follow, the life that he lived, that we would one day have that opportunity to be able to go to heaven. This is what Paul, if you go back there to Acts chapter 24, begins to speak and to preach to Felix and those that are gathered. He reasoned, he taught, discussed righteousness. And notice next, he talks about self-control. And we think about the life of Felix. His life was filled with injustice. His life was filled with wrongdoing. And why would we know this? Well, here in Acts 24, go down to verse 26. And we see the character of a man named Felix. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. Well, what was he hoping? Notice verse 23. He tells the centurion that's keeping him, "You give him liberty. Don't forbid any visitors to come and to see him. Don't forbid anybody to come and to provide for him, take care of him." Perhaps it would be that they could come and give him money that he could then give to Felix to be able to purchase his release. How'd that work out? Well, verse 27 says, "After 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound." Was he sincere about helping Paul? No. Would he have been sincere about justice then, righteousness, right living? No. You see, these are the things that we don't see in his life. What about ours? We strive to have that righteousness about us. Next, he preaches to him about self-control. Felix's life filled with lustful living. I want you to think about this. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Jordan, oftentimes, and even the young men that will help out in leading songs and things with the kids on Sunday evening, one of those songs that is popular and we sing a lot is "The Fruit of the Spirit." We talk about what it's not being some physical type of fruit. Well, think about this. The works of the flesh that we see there in verse 19 are evident. They're easily seen. Things like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So notice the contrast in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You and I have to have that self-control about our life. We can give in to all of these lustful things that we read about here beginning in verse 19. We can give in to those things and we can practice and indulge in those things, or we can practice self-control. Things that keep us away from doing those. Again, think back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, that bad company corrupts those good habits. Who am I surrounding myself with? Are they people that help me to live godly and to be more godly every day? Or are they people that are taking me further and further away from God? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul goes into this with himself, talking about the church here at Corinth, writing to them about what their life should look like. But notice he will involve himself in this. Beginning in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." There in verse 25, notice that word temperate in all things. That temperate in all things are those that practice self-control, those that keep themselves in check, those that do not allow those outside things to pull them away, those that do not practice those things that would be considered the works of the flesh. Instead, they're temperate. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Even those that would compete, think about the Olympics. Those that would compete in the Olympics, they've got to be temperate, meaning that they can't indulge in perhaps whatever they would like to eat, that they can't indulge in being able to be lazy. Instead, they've got to be focused on what they're competing in. You and I have got to be the same way. When it comes to godly living, I can't indulge those things of the flesh and then expect to be able to go to heaven. I can't practice those things that are ungodly and then expect to receive that crown of life when this life is over. I've got to keep myself in check. I've got to make sure that I do what Christ would have me to do. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1. And think about these words that Peter writes. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice there what he says in verse number 6. To knowledge, self-control. To have that self-control. In verse 5, to all of these qualities, all these characteristics of God that we are to demonstrate, he says we've got to give all diligence. I've got to be focused on those things. In fact, I've got to remain focused on them. And so if I'm going to be able to add those things and continue to build upon those foundations, one of those that I've got to make sure that I practice is self-control. That self-control of not indulging those sinful or fleshly things. Not to be distracted by those things. Instead, I give all diligence that my focus is constantly on getting to know God better, living for Him more and more every day. When I'm living that way, notice verse 8. If all these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful when? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he goes on to say beginning in verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we have to look forward to. We'll be neither barren nor unfruitful. People will see Christ living in us. They will see that we have a relationship, that we know him, and that we continue to live that way. Why? So that we make sure that our election, our call, that entrance into the eternal kingdom will be supplied to us. That's what we have to look forward to when we practice that self-control. If you go back to Acts 24, we look at the final thing that Paul was preaching to Felix about and those that were gathered there. He finishes with the judgment to come. You see, after all those things, the standard by which we live, that righteous standard of godliness, to put into practice that self-control, to continue to do those things that God would have us to do. Paul talks to him for the reason. And that reason is because of the judgment to come. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us that it is appointed to man to die once. Then comes the judgment. That our life will be what we are measured by, what we are judged by, and sentenced according to. It's appointed for us to die once. And then comes the judgment. We will stand before God. You think about all those that came before and the things that we read and that we look at, places like 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that tells us that all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is an appointment that we can't get away from. It is set in stone that one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everything that we have done is going to come forth. We are going to know by the way that we have lived our life, if it's in accordance to the will of God, according to his standard of righteousness, if we have exercised that self-control, then we will be able to hear those words, enter in. We will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And we get to enter into the joy of the Lord. Why joy? Because this is why he came to this earth. This is the reason that God gave his son, so that we could go to heaven. We could spend eternity in heaven with him. How incredible to think that this is the words, these are the things that Paul preached to Felix. What was his attitude? I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear. Instead, when there's a more convenient time, I'll call on you then. That time never came. You know, for 2 years, he continued to converse with Paul. He would have call him before him, have those conversations, all he wanted. Give me some money, and I'd let you go. That's not what Paul was about. You see, Paul wasn't about having that physical freedom. Paul was about the spiritual freedom that is found in Christ, and about helping him to find the same. And it should be, brethren, what we have, that same desire to help those around us to see these same things. Unfortunately, at times we wait on that more convenient time. We have today. It's the convenient time for us to have those conversations. Not always are they going to be easy. In fact, they would be difficult. Could you imagine being the Apostle Paul standing before a governor and talking to him about these things? Could you imagine as we stand before God and tell him we didn't say those things because it just didn't seem convenient? Got to make sure that we take advantage of those opportunities, because what we want more than anything else is to go to heaven and for those around us to do the same. We have uncomfortable conversations at times, but what we see here is the Apostle Paul in chains, making sure that he told Felix and those who are gathered exactly what they needed to hear. When we think about our lives, we think about the distractions that we have, the busyness that we have at times. Perhaps there are times when the things that are godly and Christ-like and having those conversations are not convenient. We need to make opportunities to have those conversations and take the ones that we get. Because the last thing that we want, we think about that judgment to come, is for someone that we come into contact with to stand before God unprepared, to stand before God without having heard that message. It's the message that we get to preach every day, the life that we lead, the things that we do, the actions that we demonstrate, and the example that we get to be every day. We get to help others come to Christ, come to know Him, that righteous standard that He has set for us every day, to understand that you and I get to practice those things that are godly and have the self-control to step away from those things that are not, so that when the judgment day comes, we can stand before God with that boldness that we get to have. Go back with me to Philippians chapter 1. I want you to think about these words and think about you this evening. Philippians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." If today your life was to end, is this what your life would demonstrate? Is this the type of confidence that you would be able to have to stand before Him sincere and without offense, knowing that what you are will be able to hear is, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? If it's not, won't you do something to change that this evening? Perhaps you need to become a child of God, to repent of your sin, allow the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins, to rise to walk in newness of life. Or perhaps as a Christian, as a child of God, there are things in your life that you need to get right. This evening, if we can help you in any way, won't you come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.